This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers, my sisters, my fellow Muslims that are fasting on a Friday in the last 10 of the month of Ramadan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, the beauty about having a haircut is that all my topis fit my head again, so I can enjoy wearing all my hats once again, alhamdulillah. So today we're going to be continuing with the 23rd juz of the Qur'an, because tonight is the 23rd night of this blessed month of Ramadan. So we need to make sure that we up our game, as I've been saying in the last little bit. So that's absolutely important for us to do. However, with this 23rd juz, before I forget, tomorrow I'm actually going to be streaming a little bit early because I need to be online for a virtual iftar with two of our local counselors, Counselor Zishan and Counselor Samira, as well as our local MP, Adam Van Kuberden, and with Minister Ahmed Hussein. So I'm going to be live streaming with them tomorrow evening on this virtual iftar, and I need to be on that starting at 7:30. So if you haven't checked it out, you could probably find the link at Adam Van Kuberden's Facebook page. Yeah, you should be able to find it there. Or if you're here in Milton, Zishan, you know, Counselor Zishan or Counselor Samira, you know, the link is there. I'll probably post it, post about it as well. I'll post a I will post the poster about the virtual iftar tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. That's going to be starting at 7:30 tomorrow, 7:30 until 8:10. So our class is sort of going to be right in the middle of that. So what I'm planning on doing is having the class before it, so I could finish by 7:30. So probably start around 6:15 until about 7:15, and then go on with them for the virtual iftar. And so you can all, you know, log in for that as well. You can register on Facebook, and then I'm not too sure how we're doing it. I think it's going to be live on Facebook, so you could watch it there as well. So I'll send that out there to everyone. So that's just a reminder before I forget. Tomorrow, you know, we are going to be starting the class earlier, and also next. On the 27th night, we're also going to be doing something slightly different, inshallah, but I'll keep you posted with regards to that later on. Let's jump right into it, inshallah. Okay, 23rd juz of the Qur'an, also known as 23rd night of the month of Ramadan. And then 23rd night of Ramadan, we need to make sure that we are going to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can, but of course, keeping it real, okay? What I mean by keeping it real is, look, Allah knows your situation. Allah knows your capability. He knows, you know, how much you're able to give and how much, you know, it's going to affect you and so on and so forth. So remember, when you're sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have to do what everyone else is doing. You do not need to do what everyone else is doing. You need to do what you feel is good for you and going to bring you closer to Allah. So when it comes to ibadah in the last 10 nights, yes, advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam varies. There's a number of things that we can do. We can stand in salah, we can do azkar, we can recite Quran, we can make long sajdas, we could sit down and pray, we could, you know, do some tafakkur and tadabbur, which is pondering and reflecting over the Qur'an. We can do istighfar, right, asking for forgiveness. We can give sadaqat, right, giving donations and sadaqat, or doing a type of donation to others, maybe serving someone who's in need, you know, going out of our way and doing that. There's a number of things, a broad spectrum of things that we can do that are good. And all good deeds will go multiplied, inshallah, you know, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the nights of, you know, this month of Ramadan, but even more so if it is the night of Laylatul Qadr. So we need to keep pushing forward, my brothers and sisters, and we need to make sure that, you know, Allah has given us so much that we take advantage of it as well, right? If you see something outside, someone comes and dangles a nice brand new, I don't know, brand new something, I don't know what what it is. Don't ask me for this one. Okay. This one was a gift and I can't give this one away. Not yet. So someone comes and dangles something and says, here, take it, take it, take it. And you're like, no. And they're like, no, take it, take it. It's yours. It's free. Take it. And you're like, no, I don't want it. No, take it. It's yours. Obviously, if we're like, oh, that looks really nice, mashallah, tabarakallah, I'm going to take it, right? If someone's giving it to you, you take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us rewards. He's giving us forgiveness. He's giving us bounties and blessings and mercy. And why wouldn't we take it? Like, we would be fools for not taking it, right? The one who's foolish is the one who doesn't benefit from this month of Ramadan and ends the month without being forgiven, or ends the month without having the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take advantage of it, but in moderation. And what I mean by moderation is push harder, but do what you feel is good and comfortable for you. Not everyone can stand all night long, so sit down. Not everyone can, you know, recite a whole juz or 10 juz of the Quran in that night, so recite a little bit. Recite what you can. The point is, Allah knows what you're doing, but you just got to do it. Okay, you just got to do it. All right, 23rd juz. I said like 5 minutes ago, we're going to jump right into it, and we didn't jump into it yet, but it's okay. We're going to jump right into it. 23rd juz is still Surah Yasin, okay? We're beginning with Surah Yasin. We explained a good chunk of it last night. We're just going to cover verses number 55 to 58 of the Surah, and then we'll go right into Surah As-Saffat, because we have Surah As-Saffat, Surah Sad, as well as Surah Az-Zumar, the beginning of it, to cover for tonight. So in verse number 55 of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتاز اليوم أيها المجرمون. Allah says, indeed, on that day, the residents of paradise will be busy enjoying themselves. So the residents of paradise will be busy enjoying themselves. The people who will end up in paradise, alhamdulillah, they will enjoy themselves. They and their spouses will be in cool shade. I know right now we're like, oh my God, it's so cold out. We don't really want to think of cool. But when you think of the desert and you think of this being revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, coolness is something that is pleasant, right? You go for Hajj and it's really hot. Alhamdulillah, getting some cool air is like a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you just can't pay for, right? You can't pay for it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they and their spouses will be in cool shade, reclining on canopied couches, right? Reclining on canopied couches. There they will have fruits and whatever they desire, and peace will be their greeting from the merciful Lord. Salamun qawlum min rabbir rahim. So the merciful Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal, will welcome the people of paradise with salam. And they will be sitting on these beautiful canopied couches, right? They will be reclining themselves, sitting down, will be in paradise, chilling under the shade, right? And we'll have fruits that we'll be eating from, and whatever you can think of, you know, you want this steak, subhanAllah. There's this place in Scarborough that sells halal smoked meat. It's like Montreal style halal smoked meat. For those of you that don't know Montreal smoked meat, you're missing out on one of the biggest blessings of this world, right? This flavor that is unmatched internationally, right? So there's this place, I can't remember, I think it's called Serendipity or something like that. I don't remember what it's called. And one of the brothers actually sent me an Instagram post right before we started that they're open for business. And if anyone is living in Scarborough and you want to deliver that over to my house, bismillah, right? Feel free anytime. I will accept it, right? But they have this poutine, right? It's a halal smoked meat poutine. For those who don't know what poutine is, again, you need to go to Montreal, right? You need to go to Quebec and understand. It's fries with gravy, and then they put bits and pieces of smoked meat and cheese on it, and it's just like, Subhanallah. And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is absolutely amazing. We're talking about Jannah and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with the things in Jannah, like sitting down, reclining, eating from the things that your mouth waters over, right? Your mouth is just watering, wanting this stuff. And subhanAllah, you know, it's really amazing. I actually feel really bad. Forgive me. I feel really bad. Some of the brothers or and the sisters who were watching, especially the youth, they noticed that, you know, I mentioned some things on the live stream and it's been dropped off over at my place. So I got Ru'afza delivered to me, alhamdulillah. I got oranges, and subhanAllah, they were like bang on perfect oranges. I got mangoes. You know, we got so many things, like subhanAllah, that, you know, that were mentioned. Alhamdulillah, you know, people just say, here, you mentioned this, here you go. Bismillah, here, you have it now. Alhamdulillah. It's a blessing from Allah to be able to do that. But I'm not mentioning things because I want it. I just want that to be very, very clear. I'm mentioning it because it's relevant to every single one of us. Like, we cherish the things of this life and things that we enjoy. But Allah is showing us we'll be reclined in Jannah, you know, chilling under the shade. It'll be so nice, beautiful weather outside. Like last night, I was doing some research on Portugal, just very quickly. I went for a walk, and as I was walking, I did some research on Portugal. You know, some of the cities there, those who don't know, my mother is Portuguese, alhamdulillah, and I'm also Portuguese because of my mother, right, by default. And so, subhanAllah, you know, I was looking into it, and some of the cities there, over 300 days of the year is beautiful sunshine. Right? Over 300 days of the year. No, it's not east meets west. East meets west. It's not that. Okay? It is something completely different. It starts with an S. I can't remember the name of it right now because I'm live streaming and I don't have access to my screen or anything. But, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you that have a watery, you know, mouth-watering flavor going on right now. Subhanallah. But anyways, what we were talking about was, you know, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with amazing things in Jannah, right? And I need to get this up now for some of you because some of you guys are just going to go crazy trying to figure out what it is. So Daud Butt Instagram. If you go to Instagram, you go to my story afterwards, you'll see it there. So all of you that are asking, just go to my Instagram story. It's there. I posted about it, right? All right, I'll tell you right now, inshallah. Log in to view your story. No, I don't want to log in. It's not letting me do that. All right, forget it. You got to go to my story or I'll tell it to you tomorrow, okay? I just need to have my Quran open up in front of me right now. Khalas. Enough about food. We'll move on, inshallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will greet us with peace, right? You see how food just takes everything away? Like everyone is just drawn into food, and alhamdulillah, because we're hungry, right? However, let's go to Surah As-Saffat. The very beginning of Surah As-Saffat. Who is being referred to in the beginning of Surah As-Saffat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and you can type it in the chat session there, right? Just type in, who is Allah referring to in the beginning of Surah As-Saffat? He says, وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفًّا فَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا إِنَّ إِلَهَكُمْ لَوَاحِدٌ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَرَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ. Who is Allah referring to at the beginning of Surah As-Saffat? Let's see if you know. Yes, it is Sumilicious. Abdul Hasib got it. It's Sumilicious. Sumilicious is the restaurant. But that's not what Allah is referring to at the beginning of Surah As-Saffat. At the beginning of Surah As-Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, very good, Rahat Chaudhry. Allah is referring to the angels. He says, وَصَافَّاتِ صَفَّا. By those angels that are lined up in ranks. Okay, Surah As-Saffat is the ranks, right? By those angels that are lined up in ranks. Those who set the ranks. And those who diligently drive the clouds. فَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا. And those who recite the reminder. Who are these people? They're not people. They are the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the angels. And so he's mentioning, you know, by those angels that are lined up in ranks and those who diligently drive the clouds and those who recite the reminder, surely your God is one. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything in between and the Lord of all points of sunrise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting his power and his might at the beginning of Surah As-Safat. And showing us that the angels are driving the clouds, but they're doing it with the power of Allah, as in with the command of Allah. He gives them the permission to do that, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 6, indeed, we have adorned the lowest heaven of the star with the stars for decoration. So Allah has adorned the lowest heaven of the skies with stars for us. And these stars are for protection from every rebellious shaitan, right? From every rebellious shaitan, every rebellious devil. They cannot listen to the highest assembly of angels, for they are pelted from every side. So what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meets with the angels, right? As in he gives them their command very high. They don't see him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind this hijab, right, of nur. And the angels, they receive this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the shayateen, right, the evil shayateen, the devils, those evil jinn, they try to get closer to listen in on the conversation between Allah and the angels and the commands that are being given to them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the skies, he decorated our sky, right, this lowest level of the sky, which is the first sky, for us with stars, and we get to see these stars. But he also mentions that they are protection from the rebellious shayateen. And those that try to get closer to the higher levels, to try to listen in on the conversation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands those stars to be thrown at the shayateen. So he says, they cannot listen to the highest assembly of angels, for they are pelted from every side, fiercely driven away, and they will suffer an everlasting torment. But whoever manages to stealthily eavesdrop is instantly pursued by a piercing flare. Right? So when you see a shooting star in the sky, you know that shooting star is because somewhere up there, there are from the shayateen that are trying to get closer to listen in on the conversation between Allah and the angels. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that those stars are thrown down at those angels, the shooting stars. So when you see a shooting star, you know, a lot of the time we're like, oh, that's cool, it's amazing, I saw a shooting star. But we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the shooting star is being shot at those shayateen. We move on to verse number 20. Okay, verse number 20 of Surah As-Safat. At the bottom of the page, 20, 21, 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, Allah will say to the angels, gather all the wrongdoers along with their peers. So all the mushrikun, all those who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be gathered. All the wrongdoers, along with their peers, right? Those who they followed that were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as whatever they used to worship. Okay, whatever they used to worship. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here. He's showing us this, example of what's happening on the Day of Judgment, where the people who disbelieved will be gathered in groups and they'll be brought forward, okay? And the angels will gather them and bring them and move them. And they're on their way to Jahannam, okay? Instead of Allah, then lead them all to the path of hell, right? So they used to worship instead of Allah, and the angels are taking them on their way to Jahannam. However, Allah gives this command and detain them, for they first must be questioned. Now just picture that in your mind, how difficult that scene would be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect every single one of us. Like, these are people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm having a hard time today. I've been sitting at my desk all day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that they disbelieved, they will be gathered, they will be put into Jahannam. However, the fact that they're going to be put into Jahannam doesn't mean that they get off from the questioning, right? They still need to give account for their deeds and their actions in this life. And so Allah will have them be gathered, brought forward towards Jahannam, stop, they will be questioned. And that's an indication to us, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that as much as, you know, people fear Jahannam, it will be so dreadful to stand before Allah knowing that we disobeyed Him in this life and to then have to give account for it. It's like a child, you know, a child that's misbehaving and you ask the child, okay, come, what did you do? Why did you do it? How did you feel? What made you do that? You know, why did you break this thing? You know, they have feelings, right? You start to grill your children and you make them feel really, it's like an interrogation. But that interrogation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so severe that people will tremble. People will prefer to just go, just move on, right? It's so difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that we ask Allah to protect us. But those who are coming closer to Jahannam, because they know that that is their destiny, they will be stopped and they will be told, you need to be questioned at this point in time before you can go forward, right? And that questioning is absolutely scary and difficult, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. Ameen. Forgive me, brothers and sisters, it's one of those days again. My back is hurting. I've been at my desk all day, and I really need to get like a stand-up desk, or I need to just stand a little more often, inshallah. And we're going to be live streaming tonight as well, so join us tonight at 10:45, direct from the Islamic Community Center of Milton, myself and Sheikh Hudhaifa. And after he addresses us and, you know, speaks to us, he will be leading us, inshallah ta'ala. So you can listen in on his recitation. I know many of us miss his recitation, so please do join us, and inshallah we'll be able to benefit from his recitation. And I'm going to ask him if he could make a dua at the end. We'll pray witr maybe and have dua qunut, and we can all, you know, join in and sing ameen together, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his mercy and blessings down upon us, ameen, and to remove this pandemic and make things easy for us to get back to ease in terms of lifestyle. Ameen. All right, so the next verses we're taking are absolutely important. Verse number 50 to 61, okay? Here we look at two friends who one is in paradise and will ask about their friend who they used to have on earth. And they will be told to look down, as in look towards Jahannam. And he will say, you almost dragged me into Jahannam. Let's take a look at these verses, okay? Let's go to verse number 50, inshallah, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in verse number 51, one of them will say, I once had a companion in the world who used to ask me, do you actually believe in resurrection? So just picture yourself as the person speaking here, right? You're the believer, you're the person who's speaking here. And it's not necessarily the case that only non-believers will go to Jahannam, right? There will be believers that will be punished in Jahannam as well. So listen, your friend may be someone who's Muslim, but there's a difference between Muslim and good and Muslim and bad, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in verse number 51, one of them will say, one of the friends will say, I once had a companion. I used to have a friend in this world who used to ask me about my belief in Allah and the Day of Judgment, right? And used to ask me, do you actually believe in the resurrection? When we are dead and reduced to dust and bones, we will really be brought to judgment, right? We'll be really brought to judgment. And he will then ask, would you care to see his fate? Like that person now who's asking about his friend will be asked, do you want to see where your friend is? Then he and the others will look and spot him in the midst of Jahannam. They will look down and they will see them in the midst of Jahannam. He will then say, by Allah, you nearly ruined me. Had it not been for the grace of my Lord, for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I too would have certainly been amongst those who were brought to hell. then he will ask his fellow believers, can you imagine that we will never die except our first death, nor be punished like the others that are being punished in Jahannam? This is truly the ultimate triumph. For such honor, all should strive. So my brothers and sisters, when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we think of being placed into Jannah, remember there's people on earth who we interact with. I interact with you, you interact with me. And we ask Allah to make it easy for all of us to go to Jannah and for all of us to be the ones that are placed into Jannah. But there will be people that we used to interact with, friends of ours, maybe relatives and so on, who we may know of. And we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, you know, where are these people? We used to be friends in this world. Where are they? But because maybe in this month of Ramadan, maybe as an example, you sacrificed your time with your friends, chilling and joking and playing and being online and, you know, your parents nagging at you, get off your phone, get off your phone, get off your phone. And you listened to them. You listened to them. You turned away from your friends and you decided, you know what? I'm going to listen to my parents. I'm just going to recite one page of the Quran. And you recite that one page of the Quran. And then as you recite it, you're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to go back to chatting. But your friends and so on, they were just wasting their time, wasting Ramadan, wasting their lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, as an example, that the friends we had could have pulled us down into Jahannam with them. But because we continued to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were saved by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a blessing from Allah. And we will see them in Jahannam. And we will wonder to ourselves, I almost just barely made it into paradise. And that friend of mine was pulling me into Jahannam. And look at where they are today. So my brothers and sisters, ask yourselves, do you have any friends that are a bad influence for you? Are you hanging out with people that we shouldn't be hanging out with? Are we people that are coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout these last 10 days and submitting to Allah azza wa jal at a time when He wants us to submit to Him? At a time when rewards are super great? At a time when forgiveness is being given left, right, and center? Or are we rejecting that? Are we turning away from it? Are we disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disregarding and rejecting His mercy throughout these last 10 days and nights of Ramadan? That's for us to decide. That's for us to work accordingly towards. And that's for us to see the outcome on the Day of Judgment. Just give me a minute, inshallah. Marwa, you okay? All right, just checking up on my daughter. I heard the doorbell ring and she is home alone with me, and I was just listening in to make sure she's okay. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us an example, or shows us here an example of friends. Who are our friends? Are our friends people who bring us closer to paradise? And I give this example, my brothers and sisters. Our friends should be the people who, when we see them, remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you see your friend, you don't even interact with them, right? You just see them and you're like, subhanAllah, you know, it just, something about them, it draws them closer. It draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by simply looking at them. And I remember one day I was, I've alhamdulillah been blessed to travel the world and to meet many people, and I've introduced my family to many of them as well. And this sort of concept or policy that my wife and I always had was like, you know what, if I'm going to be a speaker at a conference and I'm going to be going into the speaker's lounge and being treated and pampered, and which we don't really get treated and pampered that much. It's more like briefing and food, and food that you haven't eaten in 24 hours, but here's some food anyways, right before you get on stage. I always made it a point to bring my family into those speaker rooms as well, to meet with the other mashayikh, to meet with the other imams and du'at from around the world, so that my children can have an idea of who my friends are and who my colleagues are and who I interact with, and giving them that example. And brothers and sisters, don't think that, you know, oh, so-and-so, you know, Sheikh is so big and famous and popular and we can never get to know them. Look, my brothers and sisters, there are genuine people right around us. Sometimes the people we see on the screen in front of us is not really the person you think that you are interacting with. And I'll say that very bluntly, and I'll say it because you're watching me on the screen. And I'll say it because there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we learned, and it shakes the person who understands it right to their core. That you need to know and you need to understand, you need to hold yourself accountable every single day. Because from the first people that will be dragged into Jahannam is the qari, the alim, the person who recited the Quran beautifully, the person who shared knowledge with people. And they will come before Allah and say, do you know what I did? I recited and I taught people and they learned Quran from me and they took this knowledge and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, kathabt, you lied. Kathabt, you're a liar, right? You're lying. You didn't teach people because you wanted them to learn. You didn't teach them because you were doing it sincerely for Allah. You taught them because people will say that you're a beautiful qari, that you can recite the Quran beautifully, that you have lots of knowledge, that you can help them. That's why you did it. And so I'm sharing this with you, my brothers and sisters, and I share it with you. And I'm the one who's being held accountable here, right? I'm putting myself on the chopping block right now. And I tell you that straight. It scares me to the point that I know that the moment that I'm doing this for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm better off just going and being the janitor of the masjid or going and, you know, working and doing some other job. That is much, much better than doing what you do for fame, for recognition, for popularity. So don't seek it, my brothers and sisters. Don't seek it. And at the same time, the friends that we make on earth, they don't have to be the people that you watch on the screen. The friends that you have, the friends that you make, the people that you hang out with, they can be genuine. Look, not every single one of us, not every single imam can have iftar at their community members' houses, right? Everyone wants to do that. Of course, we can't do it this year, right? Not everyone can have that close relationship with, the imam or someone, but there are pious people around us. A pious person is someone who is God-fearing, someone who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so our friends need to be people who remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've been with people who, the simplest of thing where, subhanAllah, a brother, like I said, I'm not going to give this one away because this right now, there's a reason why this one is supposed to go somewhere else, right? This is given to me by Brother Bilal in Calgary, right? Brother Bilal. And subhanAllah, he gave that to me, as a gift because he saw that I gave mine away as a gift and he wanted to do some khair. And he had, quite a few watches in his collection and his brother gave it to me. His brother gave it to him and he gave it to me. And, I use that as an example, my brothers and sisters, because, a lot of the time people will see what you do on the screen because you have that screen and you can use it to your advantage, which we're not supposed to, but sometimes people do use it to their advantage. But the brother who gave that to me was genuine. And he was so sincere in it, no one knows that he did that. In fact, I mentioned his name, but I probably shouldn't have. But khalas, no big deal. If he's watching, alhamdulillah, it's good. He's a good friend of mine. But, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that people around us are so genuine and they go unrecognized. It is those people that we need to find as friends. The people who don't want recognition, the people who don't want fame, the people who don't want the wealth, the people who don't want from you. And that is the way of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We notice in the Quran, we took this lesson just 2 or 3 days ago. Actually, no, just yesterday, right? From the beginning of Surah Yasin, how the messengers went to the people and then a man comes crying. He's like, just listen to them. They don't want anything from you. They don't expect anything in return from you. All they're doing is conveying a message from God that's pure and right. And so we have to make sure that we choose our friends wisely. This is an important message for all of the youth that are out there that are watching. Choose your friends wisely because your friends will either pull you into paradise or drown you into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from Jahannam and allow us to enter into the highest levels of paradise. Al-Firdaus al-A'la. Ameen. then immediately afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about az-zakum, right? Allah says, is the bliss a better accommodation or the tree of zakum? Is all of that that's mentioned in paradise better, or is that tree of zakum better? What do you prefer? Do you prefer that smoked meat poutine with cheese and gravy on top that's halal and you eat it and it melts in your mouth and your cardiologist will be really upset with you for eating? Would you prefer a zakum? People are saying, what is a zakum? I know you're asking, what's zakum? Mom, dad, what's zakum? What's zakum? Right? Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have surely made it a test for the wrongdoers. Indeed, it is a tree. A zakum is a tree, right? It's a tree that grows in the depths of Jahannam, the lowest of the lowest levels of Jahannam, of hellfire, bearing fruits like devils' heads, right? As in they're so ugly and hideous and nasty, not nice to look at all, right? The evildoers will certainly be left to eat from it, filling up their bellies with it. Then on top of that, they will be given a blend of boiling water. Then they will ultimately return to their place in Jahannam, in hell. Indeed, they found their forefathers astray, so they rushed in their footsteps. And surely most of the earlier generations had strayed before them, although we had certainly sent warners among them. See then, what was the end of those who had been warned, but not the chosen servants of Allah. Not the chosen servants of Allah. Those chosen servants of Allah, the messengers and the prophets and those who followed them, they will have something different. And so az-zakum is that tree. And Allah is asking us, do you want az-zakum? Like, you actually prefer that? Or do you prefer something else, something that's better for you? What's better for you? Paradise, Jannah. Az-zakum is this nasty tree that's bitter and ugly. And the people will, after they eat it, they'll be so thirsty, like, oh man, this flavor is disgusting. And they want to drink something. And they go and they're given this boiling water, hamim, and they will drink it. And this boiling water is also boiling pus. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. May Allah protect us from the accursed shaitan, right? That will lead us, or, you know, whisper us to go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people in Jahannam will eat from that tree, and the fruits are nasty and disgusting, and they'll be thirsty, and they'll be drinking, and then they drink, and it's so hot, it's boiling, it rips their stomachs apart. My brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. We need to be careful in this dunya. We have to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to stop the sins that we're committing. We need to, you know, turn away from shaitan, turn away from those whispers, make wudu, stay away from shaitan, recite the Quran, make dua, be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because my brothers and sisters, the punishment of Jahannam is nasty. And I usually don't mention them to the community, mainly because a lot of the time our community is filled with children, and I don't want to talk about these things in front of the children, but they need to know as well. They need to know. They watch movies, they read books, or they play games that have nasty things in them. And if you were to tell them, you know, Jahannam is worse than that, parents will say, no, don't scare our children. What are you talking about? Don't scare your children. We have to let our children know what to be careful of and what not to go towards and how to save and protect themselves from the evils that are out there. You know, shaitan invites people to, oh, this is luxury, this is beautiful. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. if we move to the next surah, let's move to surah Sa'd. Go to verse number 21 and 25. Allah talks about Prophet Dawood alayhi salam there, right? Prophet Dawood. But then I really want to get to something. We'll take that example tomorrow, actually. So in Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins and says, Sa'd, wal-Qur'ani dhi-dhikr. The Qur'an itself, right? By the Qur'an, he takes an oath by the Qur'an. It is full of reminders. Reminders of what? Reminders of how we need to be good and we need to lead ourselves in the right direction and follow the way of the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you know, Prophet Dawood was given this status, right? He was a king, he was noble, and he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And two people jumped over into his property once, and he became startled. He's like, what do you guys want? And they're like, it's okay, don't worry, calm down. You know, we're cool. We're just brothers, but we're arguing, we're disputing, and we need your help. And so they come and they say, you know, this one says he's complaining, I have one sheep and he has 99 sheep and he wants to take my last sheep. This isn't fair. And so obviously Prophet Dawood is like, come on, guys, like your brothers, your friends. You have 99 sheep and there's two of you and one of you has one sheep and the other one has 99 and you're trying to tell me that you deserved his last sheep? So Dawood alayhi salam ruled, or he made his decision, right? And he has definitely wronged you in demanding. He says he's definitely wronged you in demanding your sheep, right? To add your sheep to his 99. And certainly many partners wrong each other, except those who believe and do good. But how few they are. And immediately when he said that, he realized this is a test from Allah. Allah sent these two people. They're not just friends. They were sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to try and sort this situation out, right? So he says, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realized, Dawood alayhi salam realized that we had tested him, so he asked for his Lord's forgiveness, fell down in prostration, right? He bowed down in prostration. This is not a prostration of shukr. You know, when we make sajda to Allah and we're asking, we're doing, you know, shukr, we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a prostration of shukr. This is a prostration of tawbah, of repentance, right? He falls down in prostration and turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repenting. So we forgave him. Allah says that we forgave Dawood alayhi salam. And he will indeed have a status of closeness, nearness to us and an honorable destination. And then look at this advice. Allah says, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum baynan nasi bil haqq wa la tattabi'il hawa fayudillaka an sabilih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we instructed him. He instructed Dawood, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. O Dawood, we have surely made you an authority in this land. Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. You're leading the people. You are someone who has this position, this honor, this status. You have to lead them in a way that is honest and just and true. Right? Just and true. Not Justin. Just and true, right? Oh, Dawood, we have surely made you an authority in the land. So judge between people with truth. Don't be biased. Don't be biased. And this happens. Look, I remember this verse almost every single time. Two people, a couple comes into my office. Almost always I remember this because I remember Allah told this to Prophet Dawood and my name is Dawood and he's reminding me, don't be biased. Sometimes people come into my office and, you know, they have marital issues and they're, you know, arguing or complaining and so on. And we have to be fair. It doesn't matter if it's your friend. It doesn't matter if it's your friend. If your friend is wrong, your friend is wrong, period. If your friend is wrong, he's wrong. From an Islamic perspective, what is right and what is wrong is wrong. Ya Dawoodu inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. We made you a khalifa, right? Someone who's going to lead the people. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. And judge between the people with the truth. Don't be biased. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and do not follow your desires, or they will lead you astray from Allah's way. This part of the verse has been a mushkila for me in my life. Why? Because I've always taught myself and told myself, don't follow your desires. Don't follow your desires. And desires are, you know, one of the easiest things to give into. And we all do. We all make that mistake, right? Whether it's desires of, you know, things of the dunya, wealth and so on, or you just want your own time. You want to, you know, sometimes it's just like, forget it. Like the other day, I was like, you know what? This is too much, man. Dealing with the community, like day and night, people are bothering you. They're messaging you. Like it just never stops. And my wife was like, but this is what you chose. You don't like it, do something else. And I thought to myself, now I'm being selfish, right? Now I'm being selfish. Now I just want, you know, my own time. And no, it's not about your own time. The Prophet ﷺ didn't have his own time. Well, yes, he did. He did, but he never complained, right? He had his own time and he expected, and the Sahaba, you know, they respected his time, but at the same time, anytime someone needed something, he came and he gave it to them. As in, he would do what he could to help the people, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, and do not follow your desires, or they will lead you astray. So the moment that you feel like you're doing something because you feel you want to do this, just for you, you know Allah wants you to do something else, but you're doing it for you, you know that you're going in the wrong direction. And that's where, my brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. He then says, surely those who go astray from Allah's way will suffer a severe punishment for neglecting the day of reckoning. Because when we're committing a sin, when we're doing something wrong, we are neglecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're neglecting the fact that we will stand before Allah on that day and have to give account for what we're doing. So don't do that. And then we'll go right to the next verse that we'll take, inshallah. Verse number 41 to 44. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his patience, he didn't give in to his desires. Through his patience, Allah rewarded him with so much more, right? So much more. He doubled up his family, you know, he had his properties given back to him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made golden locusts rain down from the sky upon him, giving him more and more and more wealth. And so when we are patient with Allah, and patient with our circumstances, and patient with the hardships that we're going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with so much that we can't even understand. We're like, why is this happening? Why is Allah blessing me? I'm going through this hardship. Why is Allah blessing? Don't ask why. Embrace it. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, he was taking it. He was taking it all. He was collecting those golden locusts. And Allah, you know, asks him, are you being greedy? Like, haven't we blessed you enough? And he says, yes, but shouldn't I take advantage of the blessings of you, O my Lord? Shouldn't I take advantage of your blessings? And that's exactly it. That's the positivity. We need to just take advantage of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also shows Prophet Ayyub the importance of fulfilling his oath. Right, he took an oath that he would, he told his wife that if he ever gets his health back, that he was going to lash her. Right, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that he takes this oath seriously, and he tells Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, take a hand of grass, right, a handful of grass. What's grass? Grass is like ticklish, right? It tickles you. And he says, do this, right, 100 times, right? Fulfill your oath. And so, subhanAllah, he fulfills his oath in a way that Allah shows us. We still need to fulfill the oath, but we can do it in a way that is not going to be harmful. Not going to be harmful, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand the stories of the people of the past. We move to Surah Az-Zumar, and I just wanted to take a very simple lesson from Surah Az-Zumar in verse number 7 and 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you disbelieve, then know that Allah is truly not in need of you, nor does he approve of disbelief from his servants. But if you become grateful through faith, he will appreciate that from you. No soul burdened with sin will bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, and he will inform you of what you used to do. He certainly knows best what is hidden in the heart. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the key point here, when one is touched with hardship, they cry out to Allah, right? We cry out to our Lord. We're going through hardship, like, yeah, Allah, please help me. Turning to him alone. But as soon as he showers his blessings upon us, Prophet Ayyub didn't disregard Allah. As soon as he showers his blessings, Allah, upon us, they totally forget the one they had cried out to earlier. We forget Allah and set up equals to Allah to mislead others from his way. And we say, oh, you know, this is me. I worked hard. I buckled down and I worked really hard. Alhamdulillah, look at my wealth. No, it wasn't you. It was Allah who gave it to you. You were patient through the test, and Allah gave you this because of your patience. And he then says, say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Prophet, enjoy your disbelief for a little while. You will certainly be one of the inmates of the fire. So my brothers and sisters, when we turn away from Allah in times of joy and happiness and goodness, that's the mistake. We have to turn to Allah in times of hardship and in times of ease. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ease and to make us from amongst those that continue to turn to Him throughout those times of ease, as well as throughout times of hardship and difficulty. Amin. Jazakum Allahu khairan for attending. Remember, we'll see you tonight at 10:45 p.m. Toronto time, right here in the same places that we're live streaming from right now. 10:45 p.m. tonight, Toronto time, which means in 2 hours and 10 minutes. Okay, in 2 hours and 10 minutes. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fast. This is the last few minutes on the Friday. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khayran wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barakana.